Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay. Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
Oh my God, no one stopped us, so we're back again for the podcast. Why doesn't anyone stop this?
Hey, I've got a question.
Yeah.
The you know how I know you're gay, you know that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Where's that from? From the theme music, you're gay.
Oh,
you look
the bumper.
Gay.
That's from. Is it Knocked Up? It's Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Oh right. Yeah. Right.
Although I think that's actually no, I got that from a YouTube clip of someone talking about the kind of what they'd been called when they were growing up. That you're gay. You sound gay.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
look gay.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
a gay. Yeah, that was kind
and
of.
And then Mrs. Slocum goes, "Right, we've got that out of the way."
Yes.
Oh, that. Well, I thought you were talking about. You know how I know you're gay?
Oh no, that
your
I know.
Finger smells like.
Rupert Everett.
Rupert Everett.
You've got a ball rest on your chin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I thought
that
you were
stuff.
Talking about
no,
that
no,
one.
In the theme music.
Oh no.
You look gay. You sound gay. You're gay.
You probably shouldn't say where that's from because they might want money.
aren't there no rules? Isn't that why we're here?
It's public.
Yeah. Probably
yeah,
just
there.
Podcasting.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm so fascinated on the interior narrative of the
opening music.
Of the opening music. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was actually a story about Mrs. Slocum.
In a hurry.
And her oppressed gay son. Right, we got that out of the way.
In the words of Mrs. Slocum, let's get on. This is the fabulous outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan.
Too much detail.
Here's the Puffcast.
You're really determined to have us killed.
Hey, get over yourself. He's not going to kill us.
Oh, why not?
Because we're going to be raped and murdered in this building. Puffcast.
It's time for Dear Talking Puffy. we have a letter here from Daniel in Richmond.
Right.
Hi, Daniel in Richmond.
Hi, Daniel.
Has a question that might need to be answered by a doctor.
Right.
But like Dolly Doctor, we are going to dispense advice. Ill-advised as it is.
Yes. The best kind. Just go with your instincts when it comes to medical issues.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Daniel says, I have a problem that can possibly only be solved by professional homos like yourself. We don't get paid. he claims to be merely a gifted amateur.
I've been working pro bono for some time now.
bono.
Good now.
Scott works pro bono. Daniel says, when I give head.
All right, well, let's cut the chase, Daniel.
Yeah. All right, my ears are pricked up. Okay, here we go.
When I give head, I always get a sore throat afterwards.
Oh.
Do you boys know of any way of avoiding this short of not deep throating?
Oh, I get it.
Right.
I know firsthand the pleasure a good deep throat gobby can give, so I'm not about to stop offering that level of service.
Jesus, she knows what she wants, doesn't she?
So to speak.
She has been around.
Right.
I've not come across this before.
I have questions. Is it like sore throat like bruising or is it sore throat like tonsillitis?
Well, I can't answer that. I'm not
Daniel. That's the issue.
We'll get back to us and we'll answer this question next week.
Yes, that's right. But, Jesus Christ, what's he deep throating? How big are these things?
Well, I mean, it might just be the one person if it's a lot of people. I mean...
You know you're meant to suck the dick, right? Like if you're seeing someone's forearm or something like that, you can expect some level of muscle strain.
But
right?
I have difficulty with the full deep throating because I get a little bit...
It's a challenge, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, especially, you know, depending on the size of your friend.
Uh-huh. And how much alcohol you've had.
How much alcohol you had and whether or not you've eaten a chicken vindaloo and it's making its way back. Because that burning sensation is the chili.
Yeah.
It's...
But obviously Daniel's pretty committed to... The whole enchilada, shall we say.
and you've got to applaud that.
Yes.
But look, do you know what? Maybe it's just maybe it's just biology, Daniel. Maybe you just got a tiny throat.
It could be muscle strain. It might go away over time. Maybe do it more frequently, more often, like any kind of regular exercise.
Maybe build up. Maybe start with a 2B pencil.
I think maybe he needs to start doing some throat yoga.
Throat yoga.
Just to, some...
Like pelvic floor exercises.
Yes.
The other thing I worry is it possibly some kind of infection.
Possibly.
Stop sucking off scabby homeless people.
But it might be like it might be something that flares up when he, you know,
yeah, enjoys
that kind of thing. So it could be you can get thrush in your throat. You can get
it could be an STI. Yeah. It
might be some cock related infection.
It
you're
could
right.
be a cock related infection, or maybe just stop sucking up people who don't wash under their foreskin.
Yes,
maybe that
shit will give you a sore throat like no one's.
But I'm guessing though also that you know he says he ends up with a sore throat after kind of deep throating. Perhaps he's being a little too vigorous.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, there needs to, you know, maybe experiment with rate of thrust. I don't know. Look, your gob rate is too high at the moment.
One deep throat thrust for every 16 regular deep mouth throat.
That's right.
Thrust. Yeah, do you know what? I reckon you might be onto something. Just like the tone of his letter is highly enthusiastic, shall we say.
Yes.
Well, do you know the other thing that I find bizarre about it is he clearly has no gag reflex. There's no mention of that.
No.
Maybe this is why he's got a sore throat. He's got no gag reflex. He's putting things down there that shouldn't go.
Yeah.
In which case, join the circus.
Yeah.
My friend.
Or send in your number.
Or contact a sword swallower who might be able to give you some tips.
Right. Yes.
Why is he so committed to the deep throat thing?
Because
anyway?
He likes it. Maybe we'll do it to him.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he's got that you have to. Just
Well, you know, that's his thing. He's, you know, that.
Yeah, all right. Oh, fine. So. If he wants to, like, get a bulge at the back of his neck every time he goes.
Yeah, comes down from upstairs at circuit looking like a bullfrog with like a massive swollen throat.
I fucked a goiter out of him.
But yeah, short of actual medical issues, which you should probably go and see.
You get anaesthetic sprays.
Yes, but maybe that's a dangerous thing though. If you can't feel what's going on back there.
Yeah, I don't think anaesthetic spray is the best thing
for.
Are you telling us you use an anaesthetic spray before?
No, but I just know that they exist.
You did a little. He had a little smile then. No.
No.
I know they exist, but
apparently.
If you had any idea how vanilla my sex life is.
Right.
Don't make me bring in the doona with strategic holes cut in it to prove to you. We've discussed this. My husband and I lead a very sheltered life.
I like the way that it's a doona instead of a sheet because you like to keep warm, don't
well,
you?
Well, it's wintertime.
That's right.
I just want one cold arm. That's all I can deal with.
Our sex life is so vanilla, it makes boiled rice look like the sleazeball. Just. We've talked about this. I lead a sheltered life. I freak out if someone puts chili in my pasta. If it's any more sheltered, I'd be one of the Fritzel children. We talked about this. Do I use anaesthetic spray before I have sex? Jesus Christ. You know what I have? I have a bottle and a half of vodka. Oh, go on, Pete. Go on.
I'm on. Oh, my God. Go on, fuck my thighs again.
I'll tell
you it's in when it's not. Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That feels really good. Wait, I just have to turn the page. Up to a really good bit.
Oh, there we go. Well, I hope we've answered your question, Daniel.
I suspect we haven't.
Go see your doctor.
There's no answer to that. There's no answer.
No answer to that, but good luck.
Go and see your local sexual health clinic, and they might be able to check if you've got some sort of scabbiness down there. Thanks, Daniel.
By your inflection, I can tell that you think what you're saying is funny, but... No.
Poofcast. Right, it's time for an interrogation.
Let's strap someone to the chair.
I'm excited about this one too.
Well, this is possibly one of the most, possibly one of my favourite people in the entire world.
Yeah.
You might know her as the very annoying Barbara from Bankworld. Or from Comedy Inc. She sometimes travels with Spontaneous Broadway and various other things. She is the very hilarious Genevieve Morris. How's it going, darling?
I'm going well, but you've talked me up very early on in the piece. I really can only go down from here.
That's funny. Scott was just saying the same thing.
Yes. Well, good.
Dearie mate, well, the interrogation, of course, leaves, you know, very, very little to for you not to talk about. So,
bring it on.
I'm ready. I'm up for it.
Hey,
All right.
Let's find out what's what. First question.
First question.
What activity, Genevieve, brings out your inner butch? What do you man up over?
Oh, well,
as it were.
I do like to man up with any type of physical kind of, you know, activity. I like to go camping.
Yeah. Oh, my God, we've just stepped into are you being served territory now.
I meant with the tent and the gas.
I've had a few two-man trail master incidents in my time.
So whenever I'm camping, I'm in full butch mode with, you know, a hiking boot and, a pair of long shorts.
Do you take charge? Right, put the pegs in there. You kids, absolutely. Get the fucking firewood. Come on.
Exactly.
I'm going to go and kill a bear.
All of it. My dad was a builder, and I adopt his face when I do any of that stuff. Because that kind of, you know, that kind of grimace with the mouth open, and the kind of, and I drop the voice of come on, and everything's a bit, you know, we'll put that here. We can't do it here because we're gonna say you like that there, you're gonna be in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, your sort of gets into that sort of dissatisfied set, and it's like,
absolutely.
Right, let's sort this fucking bullshit out.
Yeah, all of that, or if there's any gardening to be done, which I only do once a year, and I only want to drag heavy branches into a pile and burn them. And that's the same face.
Just burning stuff is a really butch activity.
Yeah.
I live up in the hills. I can't burn today because it's Sunday and I'm really stuck.
Oh, no.
I was talking to a friend, Damien Callanan, and I was like, how was the weekend? He said, I just had... had a few mates around. We just burnt shit in the backyard. That was the activity.
He actually is a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and they were books.
That was their social activity, just some guys. Danny McGinley was just burning shit in the backyard.
Love it.
But Genevieve, I'm just picturing you and your delightful husband off camping because, you know, knowing you both as I do, I reckon people would look at you and go, oh, look at that dyke camping with the gay man.
It is totally that. And, you know, this friend of mine who I'll not mention, but we both know him.
Right.
And he was bi when I knew him a long time ago. He's not anymore.
Right.
Anyway, and he said to me one day, God, I hope you and your partner don't split up because I wouldn't know who to choose. I thought he was talking himself up a bit. He loves it.
Hubris.
You're absolutely right. I've got a camp heterosexual man and a butch heterosexual woman, and that, you know, it's perfect.
Oh, and just like Tony Bartuccio and Carolyn Gilmer. Now, Genevieve, here's a question for you. Has a gaybo or a lesbian ever written you a fan letter?
I tell you what, it's not so much a fan letter I've had, but something a little weirder.
Oh.
Someone has started, and gee, they might even hear this, they started a Facebook page under my name.
Oh.
And I've kind of traced it back, and I'm fairly sure, look, I wouldn't like to generalise, but she's quite tall, she's quite broad and sensible.
All right. Did she pitch a tent?
Bitsy.
And she pitched. I think I might have had a photo taken with her at a...
Bunnings?
A football match.
Ah.
And the Pink Lady match. The Pink Lady, right. The breast cancer match.
Yeah.
And, yeah, being all nice. And then, because I'm not even on Facebook, but then a lot of people think I am because she's kind of running this Facebook page.
Oh.
Pretending to be you.
Yes, but there's this, you know, the small disclaimer that says this page is not controlled by Genevieve Morris, but it's my photo and my name.
Oh,
it's kind of answers a bit for me and a little bit weird. So I reckon that's even more full on than any type of fan mail.
Yeah, that's
going horribly vertigo.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right there.
That's kind of
so
weird,
I've really
creepy.
Never done anything. So if you're listening, can you stop it?
Look,
or turn it into I'm a fan of Genevieve Morris, the Facebook page, not Genevieve Morris.
I hazard a guess that any lesbians that were listening to this have probably been turned off by our lesbian correspondent.
There she is.
Bitsy, shush.
Bitsy.
Calm down.
She's furious because she's not allowed into the caravan park where Jen's camping.
No dogs allowed.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, on leash. Yeah.
Now, from the sublime to the ridiculous, I have it on good authority that you enjoy a bit of the karaoke from time to time.
It's been a long time, Toby. It's been too long, actually. I used to, you know, I actually won a trip overseas from a karaoke competition.
Where to?
Oh, yeah.
How does that work?
There was this thing going out around, I reckon it would have been the late 80s, early 90s, called So You Want to Be a Rock Star. And it was like this competition run by...
And you have to whisper it because you're ashamed.
No, that's their thing. Oh, that's what it used to be when I used to listen to it as their little... And Jim Beam, and it was run through the pub. if you went in it, you got a free glass of Jim Beam and cola. I'm up for a sing, you know. So I did that. Anyway, I won the heat. I was just going in it for a joke.
What was the song?
Oh, very glad you asked. Of course it was.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, the Outer Eastern Suburbs National Anthem.
I can't wait.
Sun in Cuba. Come on.
Yeah, great.
Then I won the heat. I didn't even know it was sort of a competition. I just went, oh, yeah.
I was just there for the UDL.
Yeah.
That's right.
I need a passport. Ah, fuck off.
That's right. This is the truth. I had never been on a plane. I had never been on a plane.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And I won a trip to the United States.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
from April Sun in Cuba. Did they?
Just like Funny Girl.
Final, someone had already taken April Sun in Cuba.
So, of course they had.
Well, my friends went into a huddle. What did they come up with? What did they come up with? Michael Bolton's version of Dock of the Bay. And, you know, when I did the grand final, which was at the, bloody hell, was it? The Chevron. Remember that?
Oh, the Chevron! This story gets better and better.
Calm down, boys. Calm down.
This is like an early 90s version of Ostentatious Australiana. This is
the
just
whole thing is early 90s. Everything. Yeah. The way I had dressed for the night, talking about Butch and my inner lesbian, I pretty much, as I got up on stage, and because all the other girls were in rah-rah skirts and had long blonde hair, I had short red hair, but, you know, it's the early 90s, it's like, I think it was 90 or 89 or something.
Right.
And I had short red hair, I had Levi's 501s on Doc Martens, pretty much a white skivvy and a tartan kind of jacket, so I pretty much look like Rick Astley. But it wasn't until I got up on stage and that voice went through my head, what's wrong with you? But the laugh was on them because I won the whole bloody thing.
Oh, my God. And was that with Dock of the Bay?
With Dock of the Bay because we did it in the semi and they said, do it, man. Do
right.
it.
Oh, my
when
God.
You, when you get those high notes and you do have to reach for them, gee, that's satisfying.
Oh, my God.
You know what? Showbiz has changed. You could not win a trip to the US singing Dock of the Bay now.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, I never thought I'd say this about you, Genevieve Morris, but you fucking peaked early. All right? You peaked early.
Didn't I?
Yes.
Didn't I? Oh, gee, that was a great night. Oh. Now that you've taken me back there.
Oh, you better just hook yourself up with a Bundy and Coke or something. Just
to make yourself
feel a little bit
bourbon.
Bourbon and Coke.
Spirits, right?
Speaking of Suburban and Cola, do you reckon you could pass in a gay bar, Genevieve?
Well, gee, Adam, what do you think?
I don't know.
I did used to live in Thornbury. Enough said. And, you know, I wondered why I was making so many new friends when I'd go down to the Oval to throw the ball to the dog. Then I kind of looked down at myself in my sensible shoes and my short hair and my comfy clothing and went, what is wrong with this picture? Yeah.
Have you ever seen the film Europa Europa?
Have I?
It's about a Jewish kid who during the Second World War who pretends to be German pretends to not be Jewish, and he's actually held up as the perfect German in terms of looks, even though he's Jewish. And you're that kid, Genevieve Morris.
I am.
You are.
What would my story be called? Genevieve, Genevieve.
Yeah, yeah.
Or... No, it'd be called Lick You Don't Like.
The only slight difference, there's only a very slight difference between me and any of my lesbian friends, is that I am stirred in the loin area by the male species.
Ah, yes.
That is really the only difference.
It's true.
Oh, look, you know, you might, you know, if things were to go pear-shaped, you could one day meet a lady with a strap-on. But that's about as close as you're gonna get.
Most of my female friends now, we all say, if we, you know, parted from our partners or husbands, we wouldn't bother with getting another bloke. We'd all just move in together. Maybe it'd be sexual, maybe it wouldn't be. You wouldn't go down that track again. You know.
It could be bothered.
It could be.
All right, Jen, complete this sentence. Right? It's moments like these you need a...
personal masseur.
Correct.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
My body aches all the time. It's just pain.
It's all that yard work, Genevieve.
It is. It's the dragging of, it's the grimacing. Mainly need a facial massage.
Oh. Now you're talking. Now
I've often found that there's very little that goes wrong in life that a good rub won't fix.
That's right. Personal touch, you know, I don't know. I know, being an older, slightly older parent, people say I'm not an older parent, but I feel like I am. And it's just your body aches because you're doing stuff that, you know, you guys don't freaking have to do. Bending down, doing up shoelaces, lifting small people onto toilets.
Oh, no, we do a lot of...
The second one, yeah. Actually, yeah.
We do a lot of bending and lifting.
Yeah. But,
and there's always toilets involved.
You've got to keep fit.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well, Genevieve Morris, it has been a delight to have you foul up our poof cast.
Yes.
With... Any time, fellas, but, you know, I've enjoyed it.
Sausages, can you see my lovely sausages? Poof cast.
Now, have you felt the vibe in the studio change?
Yeah,
it's just gotten a bit darker in here. It's gotten
it's
a bit
doer.
Oh God,
you know what that means?
It means
time for the grunt report with Grunty McFuckering.
Now, I'm a bit fucking disturbed this week, I don't mind telling you. There's not much that phases me. I was in the sling room at LA Steamworks once when a mid-sized earth tremor hit. Didn't break a sweat. If anything, I thank God for a little bit of extra swing in me action, to tell the truth. So I want to know, what the fuck have you brown-fingered douche troughs been saying about me behind my fucking back? I'll tell you, there's only one thing goes on behind my back, and it's once a year on Pedro's birthday if he's been good, you get me? I have been hearing some very nasty rumours about myself, which is of great concern to me, a pillar of the community and humanitarian as I am, to wit, that I am not even a gaybo. That I am a rapaciously greedy, cynical, cold-hearted, heterosexual bastard ruthlessly exploiting the gay community. I am not heterosexual. People are so fucking quick to jump to conclusions. I mean, Jesus, you blow one AFL player and all of a sudden you're straight. Go Pies. Do you know what, faggot verse? I wouldn't be straight even if I fucking was. Even if I woke up every morning with an urgent desire to whack off in front of a picture of Jessica Alba changing the tyres on a ute while watching Top Gear. Even if I suddenly started expressing sympathy for perpetrators of sexual assault as long as they were good at sport. Even if I did find myself torn between a powerful lust for empowered female sexuality and a deep and abiding misogyny. Even if I was straight, I fucking wouldn't be. I'd chuck some lube, some amyl and a Judy Garland album into the blender and jack that fag juice right into my eyeballs. That would turn me quicker than a revolving door at Scotty's bedroom. And if I was straight, there was no way I could be the successful gaytrepreneur that I am today. It takes the unique instincts and deft touch of a gay man to run the nationwide chain of Wrongan's gay pole dancing emporiums and soft furnishing wholesalers. For instance, a straight man would simply carry too much shame to charge the bar prices I do. It takes a special kind of sympathy for the gay booze lust that comes with the 5 a.m. fuck rush to charge $18 for a pint of light beer. For another thing, no straight man could run the upstairs fuck club properly. A straight dude would just overthink it. They'd put fucking couches and lamps and oil burners. Fuck that! A poof to nose, you get a concrete bunker, put your granny's 13-inch colour TV showing 1980s porn in the corner of that bunker, open the doors and let the boys go for it. Hose it out once a week, maybe. Finally, a straight guy would let lesos in. Straight dudes just do not get the idea that fags and dykes go together like honey and fucking ball torture. Are you all queer? Don't yous all just get along? No, we do fucking not. Gays, lesbians, bisexuals and intersexes, whatever the fuck they are, no one's been able to provide me with a clear explanation yet, form a seething cauldron of internal hatred that makes the countries of the former Yugoslavia look like the fucking Partridge Family. I'm gay and I know that, and that's why I run the only fucking gay bar in this city to have won the Golden Urinal for 14 years on the trot. An award, I may say, that I invented by myself because I'm that fucking good.
Thank you, Grunty.
Thanks, Grunty.
I'll be your topless cocktail waitress. Poofcast.
All right, it's time for Where's.
Oh, God help us.
We're going to have another crack at this. Where's Snelling, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And I don't know if we don't understand the rules or he doesn't.
I don't think anyone does. Do. I think that's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
No
Where's
rules.
You're still slurring. Are you in Thailand?
No. Sorry, yes.
Oh, there we go. That's the end of that segment. Thanks once again, Wes Snelling.
Thank you, Wes. No, but you know what? Okay, yes, I am in Thailand, but I was just in a toilet, right? True story. I was in a toilet, and you know, have any of you fags been in Thailand?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yeah, the toilets are. They're a little bit of getting used to.
Are they is it the squatty one?
The squatty
ones. Yeah, I had to do that at Kuala Lumpur Airport.
Yes.
No, this is. You just presumed that I was going to talk about that, but no, this is not true.
Oh, right.
I was in a toilet, right, and next to it is a hose.
Yeah, right.
Next to the toilet is this hose that you put there.
The douching hose.
Did you douche?
Put there, and so I kind of, you know, was shat. And, saw that hose and went, oh, this is brilliant. Like, I'll just, you know, shove that around and give it a bit of a wash.
Yeah.
That makes sense. A bit of a self-dur. And,
because it's probably fresh. It's probably box fresh, right?
Yeah. No one's used that. No one's stuck that up their ass before.
No, that'll be fine.
No fucking condom film drug smugglers have ever come through there and hosed out the heroin with that. No.
No, but I didn't, like, stick it right up there. I, you know. Held it within arm's length.
Just put your thumb over the end to get a bit of a spray. Yeah, and?
And so I do all that, and then I put it in, and then I go back to have the continental breakfast of instant coffee and sugar.
Sugar.
And I'm speaking to my friend, and she, Bridget, and she, I said, oh, my God, have you seen the hoses in the toilets? And she said, oh, yeah, the one you use to clean the toilet bowl.
Well, in some ways, you kind of did, Wes. That's up there with drinking the finger bowl at a restaurant. Oh, wow.
Well,
Wes is like, I came here to stick something up there, and by God, I'm going to stick something up there.
There's no gay saunas here.
No, there's not.
No, there are in Bangkok.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm not in Bangkok.
You're in Phuket. No, you're just going to have to settle for getting rimmed by a ladyboy.
Wow, yeah, it sounds like
you have to talk to him first.
which, as we've discovered, presents difficulties.
Yes.
Well, Wes, hopefully next week you'll be somewhere other than Thailand, but I really doubt it.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving. I am not leaving. In fact, I don't think I can. Because the people who, you know, I hired a scooter off currently have my passport.
Right.
And they refuse to give it back to me.
Oh, no.
You better go and return that.
So I'm here. All they keep calling me to check. Oh, yeah, I'm here for good.
All right, darling. Big air kisses.
Mwah, mwah. Mwah.
My God, it's me with a bad haircut.
Poofcast. All right, it's time for our new favourite segment.
Oh, man.
Is that a thing?
Is that a thing?
Here's one.
Equal parts titillating and horrifying.
Here's one that Scott doesn't know. And,
well, I'm just unclear. Yeah, I need it explained.
Snowballing.
Right.
Which...
It's a jizz thing.
It's a jizz thing.
Right.
It's potentially, a jizz thing. Potentially unsafe.
I know the ingredients, but I don't know the recipe.
Yeah. Right. Oh, well, the recipe is when you give someone a gobby.
Yes.
And they jizz in your mouth.
Yes.
And then you kiss them and pass it back.
Right.
Snowballing.
Right.
Which comes particularly in handy if you've not been warned that
yes.
I may have once or twice
take that
accepted said jizz and then spat it back with vengeance. To have someone go, I'm not really into that spitting the jizz thing. I went, well, I'm not really into you not telling me that it's coming.
Right. Wow.
I don't like surprises.
Yeah. Mama doesn't like surprises. If you warn me and I'm in the mood,
yep.
Then, you know.
Oh, I like a sex act that ends with revenge. I really do.
Snowball revenge.
Yeah. Snowball revenge too.
Wasn't that the secret to Charlotte's Web?
It was, yeah.
I thought so. I can believe that's a thing.
Well, yeah,
that's definitely a thing.
Well, yeah. I've done it.
You've done that thing.
I didn't know it was called snowballing until I read it in a, an adult gentleman's magazine.
Oh, I see.
You know what? I don't even think that's that horrifying.
No.
I can definitely cope with that.
Would you do it?
Yep, I would. There you go. There you go. Pete, if you're listening, buy some Listerine. I'll be home in 20 minutes.
See, I wouldn't.
But that's because you don't know who your partners are half the time.
Well, most of them don't have mouths.
What kind of mutant Martians are you?
No, because it's hard to pass through the glory hole.
Yeah.
The toilets at the train station.
No, I wouldn't, because I don't know about you. Like, I would if I was the receiver of it.
You would let them spit.
You would let someone spit in your mouth.
I would give it to them.
Right.
Like if someone came in my mouth, then I would, I'd be happy to kiss them afterwards.
Yeah.
But the idea of cum is really hot right up to the point until you cum. And then a split second later, I'm like, nah, I'm not fucking going.
Well,
I know what you mean.
You know? Came in someone's mouth and they went to kiss me, I'd be like, get it away from me. No.
Yeah.
Because
up
to that point, I would have been bang up for it. But the moment I've come, that's it. Nah.
It's a bit like, in those science fiction movies where, like, when you've got the evil ring on, you're evil. But the second you take the ring off, what was I doing?
Oh, my God.
That was a terrible idea. Oh,
somebody tricked me into a hole.
It is funny, isn't it? Sometimes, after the crisis has come, after you've bought the farm, you do sometimes find yourself in a particular situation, like you're in a certain clinch or in a certain setting, you just go, this is ridiculous.
Well, it's like watching porn.
Yeah.
Like, porn is great up until you come and then, you clean up and you look up and go, oh, my God, was I watching that? That's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
How do you even get in there?
Yeah.
I've had several moments where in that instant I think to myself, I've been to university.
There
you go.
Yeah, coming sometimes just... Why does it all just turn off?
Yeah, it doesn't kind of even... fade out.
Yeah.
It's just... That's it.
All
gone.
Of a sudden, like,
just give me a minute to get my pants on.
Like, you know when you're, having some alone time, and
having a crack at yourself.
At the point just before you come, you're like, should I get something to catch this in? No, I'm just gonna let it go everywhere. And then the next, you're like, now it's everywhere, and I need to. Oh, and it's like fucking beetroot. One little drop goes ill.
Yeah. Suddenly, every piece of material in the room becomes seersucker and just.
Remember when we were in Adelaide?
Oh, God, I hate it when you do this. It always scares me. It always scares me.
Because he doesn't remember when he was in Adelaide.
We were in Adelaide, and so, you know, of course, my boyfriend was in Melbourne, and I was lonely and watching movies on my iPad.
Yes.
On the iPorn.
And the iPorn. And so, you know, we'd finish the show at like 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. I had to be up at 4:30 to go to work. So we'd go home and I'd be like...
You do not have time to fuck around.
I don't have sleeping pills and I need to really go to sleep. So let's get this out and, you know, nature's Milo. and go, wake up the next day. It was like, right, go to work. And I use my iPad in the studio as paper, basically, like instead of printing up bits of paper. So I walk into the studio at SAFM and turn on my iPad with, and poor Craig Anna sitting beside me goes, "Whoa!" And I'm like, "Oh yes, that would be a special movie." but not just that. On the reverse side of my iPad, I obviously had missed. Big telltale splotch. This terrible stain.
And there was nothing else it could have been. I saw it.
Nothing else it could have ever been.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Mercy.
The telltale splodge.
All classy when you're on tour.
Actually, on another podcast, on Josh Thomas and Tom Ward's podcast, Tom Ward told a story one time about having some alone time. And and he was, like, sitting on his chair with, like, his jacket was over the back of the chair and he splashed his jacket and didn't realise. So he spent, like, 2 weeks walking around.
With a big splodge.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I once cheesed on someone's jacket.
Yeah, that was the worst tram ride ever.
But we can't have nice things.
it goes everywhere.
Oh.
And immediately when it's on stuff, you're like, oh. Well, clearly, I wasn't aiming for it.
Sorry.
It should, like, maybe it should be like an umbilical cord. Like, it should
come out. Spider-Man's web.
But like, stay attached and you just get out some nail scissors and...
Oh.
Well, then no one would ever get pregnant, Toby.
Well, that's not none of my concern.
Yeah.
That's not my issue.
Imagine you had to pull your dick out and cut it off to make sure someone got pregnant. Off you go.
You'd have one of those little,
usher it in.
Have one of those little strips of jagged metal under your PSI, like on the Glad wrap, so you could just tear it.
Now, that is definitely not a thing.
That is not a thing.
Oh, dear, we probably should have got on with it a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Probably should.
It really wasn't worth the wait, was it?
I can see what she means now. Yeah. I have total sympathy for her impatient pussy.
Can we get on?
Is it, you know, whenever I hear the opening music that we're about to play right now at the end?
Slight reflux?
Yeah, it's a little bit of reflux. Yeah. No, but when Mrs. Duncan says, "Can we get on?" and there's, like, I know they're all you, Scott, going, "Poofgrass, poofgrass."
Yeah.
It just sounds like she's in a room full of really hot naked men.
Which is not really a great image when you think about
it. And she's going to dust them or something. I don't know what it is, but I hear, "Can we get on?" Poofgar, poofgar. Oh, there's a lot of men there. And Mrs. Slocum, what's going on?
Oh, you have a very vivid imagination.
Like it's somehow the physical episode from Glee. Yeah. Sue Sylvester's in there jerking off bodybuilders.
No, it's... You
with
know
her
it
talons.
It's on, in my mind's eye, it's on the floor of Grace Brothers, where they all work.
That's what I'm saying. There's a narrative to it.
Yeah, right.
And... they're all mannequins, like frozen.
Yeah. And they're like,
really, they're actually hot men who come alive and start dancing and are wearing the trench coats and the hats from the It's Raining Men video.
Yeah, that was it.
And
was
Mrs. Slocum is dusting them with their feather duster.
That was the Are You Being Served porn movie, Are You Being Serviced?
Well, we've got more of that shit next time on the
podcast. I'm free.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay. Poofcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Poofcast.